Okay. So if you look at Perek Lamed Aleph, and you go to Pasuk Yud Beis. So it's in Parshas Kisisa, and that's where we learn the famous halacha, or the famous fact of where we learn all the Lamates Malachas from. It's the connection of where this is found in the middle of a building in Mishkan. All of a sudden, plopped in the middle are these psukim about Shabbos. And if you look at right away, right after Vayom Hashem Amar Shalemar, the first thing that Hashem says is, Ach, Ato Daber B'nei Yisrael Lemar, tell B'nei Yisrael the following, Ach, but. It's a funny thing to say, but. You start a sentence with but. So I believe that's what Chazal learned, even though we're in the middle of talking about building a Mishkan, but there's a huge exception to the building of the Mishkan. You don't continue building on Shabbos, even for the Mishkan. I believe this is where we learn that. So I heard an explanation. I just read something this Shabbos. So how does this show you that the Lamates Malachas are derived from the building of the Mishkan? I saw this quoted in the name of Arya Kaplan. Maybe this is the Pashtun Shana of Gemara. To me, it was like, I got illuminated when I saw that. It's because what Hashem is saying here is you can't do any building of the Mishkan, because every single thing involved in building the Mishkan is what's forbidden on Shabbos. It's not like there's just this law. Like, don't ask why. Just you can't do it. It's a rule. You can't build Mishkans on Shabbos. That's not what it is. It's that you can't build a Mishkan because every single thing you might want to do involved in making a Mishkan is what's prohibited on Shabbos. So therefore, don't even try any of the parts to building a Mishkan. Every single thing is what's asur. So looking back on it, and then we can say all kinds of pshatim as to why it's like that. What's the hashkafa behind it? But this is apparently where we learn that that's therefore there's nothing to do. You can't, not just like don't do it, but rather you can't do it because every single thing you're going to try to do is exactly what's forbidden. So the puzzle goes on. Ki oshi beini uveinechem. So first of all, tishmaru. Let me point out what Hirsch points out here. The word tishmaru comes up three times in this paragraph. Three times. If you look at it, this pasuk here, it's pasuk yud dalid, and it's also tes zayin. All three times in rapid succession. Tishmaru, tishmaru, ushmartem. And pasuk tesayin the shama of Esau, and Hirsch, and I'll trust him on this because I didn't go through the whole Torah, but I trust that he knows his bekiyas better than me. He says you won't find this anywhere else with one exception, and maybe it's like that by Pesach, and he quotes all different places where shmartem es amatzos, shmartem es achukah zos, es chakam matzos tishmar, shomer es chodesh aviv. Maybe by Pesach is the only place where you find it over and over again, the idea of Shmira by Mitzvah. But this one is like literally all in the same paragraph. And it's making a very strong statement. So therefore, he would like to emphasize something. Let me go on. I'll show you what he makes out of it. Shmira is the theme of the at least this part of this paragraph. So you should be, and what is the Shmira? The Shmira is don't do the Lamates Malachas. Ki os hi beini uveinechem, because it is an os between me and you. So what's the os? So if you'll tell me it's Shabbos, so he points out the following, it can't be Shabbos, because the word shabsosai is a plural word. And that means each and every individual Shabbos. It doesn't say Shomer Shabbos. It says Shabsosai, each and every separate Shabbos. So he suggests that Tishmaru is what it's going on the concept of Shmira, which is a Lashon Nekeva. Otherwise, Shabsosai would have been Hain or something. It would have been plural. But the word Shmira is a feminine word, so it's the concept behind Tishmaru. So therefore, the os that he's talking about is what we do. Our not doing malacha is the os. We'll, later, we'll find another pasuk where Shabbos itself is the os. That's from Hashem's side. But there's a relationship that we're having an os about. Part of it comes from what we don't do. The other part, we'll see soon, is what Hashem creates for us. So that's how he goes with this. Ki os hi, this shmira of ours, is beni v'nechem. That's the mutual side of this arrangement, of this os. And every os is ladas. So there is definitely ladas, to make it be known. Every os in the Torah is there to make a point, is to have something that you think about. You won't find an os in the Torah that's not with a message. And here the message is, ki ani Hashem mekadeshchem. So you may find a Hasidish pshat or a mystical pshat that will talk about Kedusha with some highfalutin, deep, mystical feeling. But I think David's already getting the hint already over and over again. Every time we talk about Kedusha with Hirsch, it doesn't. I go out of my way to point out that's not how Hirsch looks at the word Kedusha. It's not this, you close your eyes and you shuckle and you feel some, I don't know, some hypnotic, I don't know what. Kedusha means separate or designated for something. And here, when Klal Yisrael is being called out to be the unique nation that we are, so there, this is Mekadeshchem. You have a role in history, you have a role in being Hashem's banner, and your Shmira Shabbos, you're not doing Lamites Malachas, is a statement that's part of Klal Yisrael's main mission statement. Therefore, this will be the oath, and when you do this, and you'll see the other side in a minute, that's going to make it be known that you have this role. So, I just want to read you. This is already a theme that's been building the last couple of weeks. But here's where Hirsch says it. I highlighted it in my Chumash. I'm going to read this over to you. That he says at the end of Pasuk Yud Gimel. From days of old, ever since man existed, Shabbos also existed, so that man should be sanctified through it. But it existed only as an abstract idea. It lacked a visible expression perceptible to the senses. It lacked an os, a symbol. Hence, it disappeared from man's consciousness as mankind went astray. Because you don't have something tangible, nice ideas, they kind of fall apart. When God chose Israel to be an instrument for his rule, i.e., an instrument for paying homage to him and acknowledging him as creator of the world and as ruler and master in the midst of mankind, which is none other than the realization of Shabbos. You hear this? Klal Yisrael's role equals the realization of Shabbos. It's one and the same. So when Hashem did that, he gave Shabbos in Israel the concrete symbol of Isra Malacha, the prohibition of work, which is a sign of God's relation to Israel and Israel's relation to God, so that you may know that I, God, sanctify you. I just thought those words alone are worth coming tonight to hear those words. What we represent is what Shabbos is there to represent. And I'll throw in a Zohar for you, David, because I know you. A night without Zohar is a big disappointment. So even though I don't know what I'm talking about, but this one is famous. They say that Talmud Chacham is Bechina Shabbos. Because walking around with Torah, that's the Ratzon Hashem. That is what Hashem has to say. That is Shabbos. It's all one idea. The Ratzon Hashem lived out in this world is Shabbos. Okay. So then it goes on to talk about the onshin that happened, Chiyuv Kares and Chiyuv Nisa for breaking Shabbos. So Shmartim es HaShabbos. Now it's where we talk directly about Shabbos and the Yom Shmira, Kikodesh Olachem, Mechalonais Yumas, and you get Kares. I'm going to go quickly. Sheshes Yom, the next pasuk, Yeyosem Olacha. Olacha should be done. Oh, I just want to point out one thing before I go on to this pasuk. Here Hirsch points out, when he talks about the onshin, there's a big emphasis in halacha about the idea of it being in public. Not that every avera to be punished, a person needs warning by others. But there's an extra level of iser of someone who's mechalel Shabbos in public. Someone who's mechalel Shabbos b'farhesia, he does it out in the open. So that person is equated by Chazal, is considered a mumer l'chol ha'terakul, it's a gemara in Chulin, daf hei amud aleph. That someone's in the Chal Shabbos is like an Oveh Varezara. Because Shabbos is that central. It's more than just keeping Shabbos. It's the fact that we just said Shabbos is there to make a statement be known. It's a flag that we wave when we keep Shabbos. It's a statement to the world. So when it's a statement to the world and the person doesn't care, it means that this oath that Hashem runs the world doesn't matter to this person. So he's basically saying, even if he keeps every other mitzvah, But he's saying that the core of what it's all about, he rejects. I just thought that was an important point. Okay, so next pasuk. Sheishes yamin yeyosim olacha. Uyamashi Shabbos Shabbosam Kodesh LaHashem. He already talked about Shabbosam, this idea of Hashem resting. And Vayinofash, I think we'll get to that. Did we say the word Vayinofash already? This is Vayinofash. That's coming up in Pasuk Yud Zayin. I'll get there in a second. It's Hashem resting and our recognizing that he stopped and therefore everything was complete. Okay, now, v'shomer b'nei Yisrael shabbos, la'asos es ha'shabbos l'darasam b'risayla. So our shmira of Shabbos creates something that lasts forever. It's not just something that we do for now, that this is a shmira, but we are part of a chain till achras hayamim, of what Hashem wanted to bring the world to. This is again part of Hirsch's theme, that Shabbos is Klai Yisrael's vehicle. It's what Hashem wanted to bring back to the world. It was originally the idea of Shabbos in a generic, in a general sense. Klai Yisrael is going to be the vehicle by which the world gets to know it. It's going to be forever. Bris Olam, because one day the world's going to understand, they're going to pick up from where we're setting the example. Not that they have to not drive on Shabbos, not turn on lights. That's not the point. But by us demonstrating our emunah, what Shabbos represents to us, the world will get the Shabbos idea, the original Shabbos idea that they've always meant to. Now it says, Beini, the Pasuk Yud Zayin, Beini v'Bnei Yisrael, Oski li'olam. Now it's on Shabbos. That's what her said. Before, the Os was about our Shmira. Here the Pasuk is saying, it, Oski, now we're talking about Shabbos. Pasuk Yud Zayin, then the subject is Shabbos. The Shomer Yisrael is Shabbos. And the He of Pasuk Yud Zayin is about that. So, Beini v'Bnei Yisrael, Oski li'olam. That kisheishes yamas Hashem is Hashem yisaret v'mashishavas v'inafash. So Hashem's v'yishavas v'inafash is that's the os that Hashem does. His giving us Shabbos is a proclamation that Hashem was shavas v'inafash. V'inafash, which translates, is that he went back into himself, whatever that means, kaviyachol. That by ceasing from doing active work and reaching into a physical finite world, Hashem Ki'ilu, a little bit that our little minds can understand, went back to where Ki'ilu, to that realm of Hashem himself. So there's nothing more that he's going to do. But that itself was a bria, the pause, as we said already before, Hashem not doing meant that everything that happened before was done by Hashem. That itself is where, that's the room for us to sit and meditate on that. Okay, so now, so I'd like to share with you something. Before I go on to this next thing, more from Hirsch on the subject of Shabbos before I'm going to switch over to a Sephorno and a Nefesh HaChaim. So he points out here that to wrap up this theme here in this little parak, he says that we learned just at the beginning that Shabbos is Daicha, even building the Mishkan, and of course anything else that's important to you. So why would that be? So this is a big aside from Hirsch. This is his Mahalach. Maybe others have a different mouth, but Hirsch's mouth says as follows, that Shabbos represents, it's a sign of our relationship to Hashem. That's Shabbos. But the Beis HaMikdash, or the Mishkan, is a sign of our relationship to Hashem's Torah. Everything about the Mishkan, and he develops it throughout the whole Half a Sefer Shmos, and the whole Vayikra goes through this. The Torah is at the back, it's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and everything that's in the Mishkan, according to Hirsch's approach, are symbols of how living out the Torah would look. And then the Chatzer is carrying it closer to life, and then you leave the Mishkan and what it's supposed to look like in life itself. All that is instructions for life through the Torah. But Shabbos is the preliminary step. It's you have a connection to Hashem, it's himself. So therefore, it makes perfect sense, says Hirsch, that the first thing is you connect with Hashem, and then you listen to his Torah. I know some may say, what do you mean? How can you disconnect the two? Hashem and his Torah is all one, but apparently there's steps in this relationship. And therefore, he says, it also makes perfect sense why there is one thing that you do break Shabbos for, and that's Pikuach Nefesh. Because Pikuach Nefesh is to keep the person alive. And if the idea of Shabbos is to give the person his inner kesher, so you need a person in the first place. You can't have any kesher, he's going to die. So you got to keep the person alive along the lines of another Gemara, the Gemara Yuma, that it's better Chalilolov Shabbos Achas Kadei Sheyishma Shabbos Harbe, because we need you to keep a Shabbos. Without you, there won't be this growth in your connection to Hashem. So that's why Pikuach Nefesh is a Shabbos, but building the Mishkan is not. Okay, so now I want to read you something very interesting. I had this great book. About 10, 15 years ago, I got a call from Rabbi Zev Cohen's father-in-law, Rabbi Pinchas Stolper, who was the founder of NCSY. At the time, I was the director of development for NCSY, and he wanted a favor. He invited me. He was living at the time with Rabbi Zev Cohen in his house, and he wanted me to come. Maybe he was living in Lakewood, I'm not sure, but he was there. He wanted me to come over to Rabbi Cohen's house. Very important meeting. He needs to talk to me. That's something really important. Okay, I come over there. And he asked me to find one of the wealthy donors at the NCSY region because he had a project, a book he was working on. So we talked for an hour, and I said, fine. At the end of the meeting, he gave me a gift. But here's the gift. Yeah. Show and tell. Shabbos, not a day of rest. And I really, it's been sitting on the shelf. I haven't looked at it too much. Well, I looked at the first, maybe it was 10 more years ago, I looked at the first 20 pages. But this Shabbos, I looked at maybe 75 pages. But the most interesting part so far that I found was a letter in the introduction, one of his askamas, by Rabbi Moshe Eisenman, Mashkiach of Neir Yisrael, who wrote the following to him. He quotes the Sifarno. The whole thing is worth reading. So, okay, here we have time. So, hold on. Here's what he writes. I'm going to skip to the part. Somebody was complaining to me recently that he finds the long summer Shabbos afternoons difficult to handle. Too many hours, too little to do. I suppose I could have given him the standard advice. Perhaps another Chumash Seder, or maybe a little Nach. And he adds humorously, I imagine that if I would have felt really adventurous, I could have gone overboard and suggested brushing up on his dictbook skills. Something they had not even thought about since third grade. I did none of this. He had caught me at a moment in which I myself felt particularly vulnerable, and all because of the Sephorno. It all began with Ibn Ezra, who wonders how the expression La'asos es HaShabbos that we say in Vishamru makes any sense. Shabbos is a day of refraining from work, not of doing things. La'asos. The Ibn Ezra's solution is that lasos refers to Erev Shabbos. That's the Ibn Ezra. There are many actions that we are called upon to do on Friday if we're going to rest on Shabbos, as we're bidden to do. We need to cook, we need to set out early enough on our travels, and so on. So that's the Ibn Ezra's plan, lasos. You got to do things. Erev Shabbos, that's the lasos. The Sephorno has a different shot. Listen to this. The Sephorno says that the lasos means to build the Yom Shekula Shabbos of Olam Haba. Look it up. I checked. It's in the Sephora. And he says as follows. As my good friend Rabbi Yehuda Kopperman writes in his commentary to the Sephora, Tishmerus HaShabbos Ba'olam Hazeh Kidei Shetizku Bekach La'asos V'livnos La'atzmechem Es Olam Haba Shalachem Shehu Yom Shekula Shabbos. Ooh, Shabbos L'Darasam. That's the Shabbos L'Darasam. It means your Olam Haba. The lasos that you're doing in your Shabbos, you're creating your Olam Haba, because Olam Haba is called Yom Shekula Shabbos. And what you make of your Shabbos will make of your, that'll define your Olam Haba. So Sephorno seems to be saying that we're called upon to attain fluency in the language of Olam Haba on our weekly Shabbos. If we keep our weekly Shabbos in, he calls it, English, in quote, that means if we just make it bland and don't do anything unique and deep with our Shabbos, we will not understand much when we get to the Olam HaEmes. When I remembered that what the Sephorno taught, I stopped worrying about my friend and started worrying about myself. If a long Shabbos afternoon is hard to fill, eternity poses a bigger problem. If the way I keep Shabbos now is going to determine how my portion in the Olam HaEmes is going to look, I think that I'm in pretty bad shape. Adkan Dvarov. That's what he says there. That's worthy of thinking about. Now, they all say the joke about what someone's Gehenna is going to be. Someone, you know, doesn't enjoy learning. They're going to stick him in a hard share with, they're going to quote every difficult, you know, all the Rishonim and Achrayim, and it's going to be stuck. having to listen to the shir. But this is something that's even more profound. It's, I once heard from Rabbi Avram Twersky. He wrote a book called I think is the name of the book. And I was at the way back when, maybe 28, 29 years ago, he was giving a class to the Mechanchem at the ATT day. And he said that after he had been in residency for becoming a psychiatrist, he knew he was really burnt out. And he and his wife, they took a break. And he went to a spa for like 3 days. And they go to all these places. They go from one room to the next. One room, they put hot rocks on your back. And the next time, they give you a massage. And then they finally put you to this whirlpool. And you have to sit in the whirlpool for an hour. And he was in the whirlpool for like 3 minutes. And he began to feel very uncomfortable. And he didn't know why. And he realized what he's being uncomfortable with is this is the first time in years he was actually just all alone with himself. And he didn't know how to be with himself. He didn't know who he was. He had not come to understand himself. And maybe that's what Rabbi Eisman was talking about here. Shabbos is building our inner core of our relationship with ourselves and ourselves with Hashem. But if we haven't thought these things through, it's going to be a lot worse than a long Shabbos. We don't know what to do with your time. It's going to be eternity. Well, who am I? What do I do with myself? This reminded me of something else, which whenever I get the opportunity, I share it. This lassos reminded me very much of the Chaim Volozhiner writes this in two places. One of them, you can find it more at length in Nefesh HaChaim, Shar Aleph, Perek Yud Beis. But it's also, if you want to find it briefly, it's about most of the way through the introduction to what he writes in his intro to Ruach Chaim. And I'm going to read you what he says there. This is shorter. It says as follows. Hold on. This is Gerus Mitzvah. Second, sorry. Sorry. Alkin, let's pick it up from there. Alkin, lo omer hatana. The Tana doesn't write everyone has a portion in Olam Haba, bi Olam Haba. The Omar, rather, he writes le Olam Haba. It's a strange statement. Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelek le Olam Haba. What do you mean? I thought you have a chelek in Olam Haba. He says no. Ki bo Olam Haba haloshan muvan. If you would say bi Olam Haba, then it would mean Kihu dover b'fnei atzmo, hamucha. It's this thing waiting for you. Kaviyachal, you go to a game room, and you bring up all your tickets, and you go to the counter, and you got these prizes waiting for you. So it would be like that. Like, you know, you come to Olam Haba, hello, we've been waiting for you. What do you got? You're trading your mitzvahs, and they give you what you get. That's what it would mean if it says bi Olam Haba. You get a portion in that stuff that's there. They take from there, they pick your prize, or maybe they choose the prize for you. That's if it says bi'olam abba. But no, v'amar li'olam abba, but it says with a lamed. Shehu osa ata ha'olam abba. Right now, he is creating his olam abba. As he's doing it, he's going through life right now. V'maisa ha'mitzvus. V'hu maisa yidei adam atzmo. Ki a mitzvah hu etzem haschar. The mitzvah itself is the schar. Vi ha'or hu began eden b'chayei ha'adam. Okay, now I'm getting out of my league, but I'll try to say what I think it means. V'or is in Gan Eden during the lifetime of a person. I don't know what Gan Eden means during a person's lifetime, but it sounds to me either there's this sphere called Gan Eden that we don't fully understand while we're alive, Or it means even beyond that right now we're experiencing Gan Eden, but we don't know it. Not that it's some zone somewhere, but it's happening right now. It's just that we're blind to it while we're alive. Ula asid zeschara v'havein. One day that's going to be your schar. It sounds like he's saying that he's saying it mafurish. We are creating our mitzvah through our mitzvahs, but it's not that this is other thing that we get. The very thing that we get is what we created. So I'm thinking that if these two go together, what we saw in the Sephano, if I don't know if it's true, but if we can put the two together, that would mean that the lasos, we're creating an Olam Haba, but it's unique to Shabbos particularly, because it says lasos here by Shabbos. If you can say that the two are the same idea, then because Shabbos is so central to everything that it just stands for, while it's true by every mitzvah, as Rav Chaim Volozhiner wrote, but uniquely Shabbos is where, that's why Shabbos is a Yom Shekula Shabbos, Olam Haba is Yom Shekula Shabbos. Shabbos defines our core connection to Hashem. So I don't know if it's right, but it's worthy of thinking about. One thing for sure, if they're going through 60, 70 pages of that book, there's some parts of going through Shabbos that I have yet to tap into. Maybe once in a while you get a moment where you think about it. But how often do we think, when we remember, you know, let's say you almost turned on a light by accident, and you remember you didn't. But how often do we think as we're going through Shabbos, and by me not turning on this light, I am making a statement that I believe in God, that I know that Hashem is the creator of the world. How often do we make that leap other than just technical halachic thinking? Don't do this, do that, which is very important. You've got to know what to do, and it's amazing, all the halachas and doing it right. But how often do we then let it seep into our neshamas and our mindset, what we're doing as we go through the day? And it's possible that the more we think this way, the more these long, long summer afternoons of Shabbos will not be hard, but they'll be inspiring. And if we still have to come up with things to do, the kids may not appreciate this. You got to come up with board games and other games. I don't know, 21 questions. Come up with something to do. It's a long day, especially if you're stuck in quarantine. But I think this stuff is enough to think about to last a long Shabbos. So this is it on my series about Shabbos in our leading up. I'm reminding you, by the way, that the purpose of all this talk about Shabbos was because Hirsch understood that Sfiris HaOmer, one of the core thoughts of Sfiris HaOmer, is that it's Sheva Shabbosos. We're going through seven periods of 7 days, which are whose themes are always Shabbos in it. So we have to become Shabbostic, not just during Shabbos, but during the week. That Shabbos should inform the week, and our week should be aiming towards Shabbos. So hopefully some of these ideas will be on our minds as we go through the later days of Sfira leading up to Shavuos. But next week, Bez Hashem, we're going to start to talk about Shavuos and what it means to be a chosen people.
Very good. Shkoach.
Shkoach, thank you.
Okay, come on. Okay, have a good vach, everybody.
A good vach.